Will you please join me, brothers and sisters, turning in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I am continuing this week with a sermon that began last Sunday, a somewhat extended application of verses 11 and 12 on the proper life of the believer that we are called to lead. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? I will be reading verses 9 through 12. And this is God's word. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may live properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This has been God's word. Please be seated. As I have already mentioned, this is really a continuing sermon from last Sunday, and I came to realize with the baptisms and membership and that, I will need to continue yet one more Sunday after this. It is a sermon that is focusing on how to live properly as believing parents. How does being a Christian impact parenting? Because when you are a Christian and you are a parent, then part of how you are called to live a holy life to the Lord, set apart in Christ, and living out that devotion in your life, it is going to impact, along with a host of other things, it is certainly going to impact how you interact with and how you raise your children. He has, in verses 11 and 12 that we just read, told us as believers to aspire, to have as a strong ambition and goal to live lives that will be deemed as proper before unbelievers, that are dependent on no one, and that these lives should be marked by quiet, a lack of friction and strife and quarreling and troubles, and certainly how we raise our children and how we lead our homes, it's going to have a lot to do with whether our lives are quiet. Parenting certainly has to do with practicing our own stuff, tending to our own affairs. Our children are given to us. They are a responsibility and a charge from the Lord. They are something that we are called to invest ourselves in. And it is certainly working with our own hands. If there's anything that is hands-on, it is children in the home, at the kitchen table, in and around our lives. We want to, as believers, please the Lord in this great calling that he calls many of us to. But it is, as I mentioned last week, not simply a concern for those of us who are actively raising children, although it is certainly for them. If we're children being raised, we want our parents to hear about Christian parenting, of course, so it is a concern to them. Those of us who have already parented, we would do well to think about how we did, to be prepared to humble ourselves before the Lord and perhaps even before our children. Maybe there are some things we really did wrong, and we need to acknowledge that. May God give us grace in that. But as was alluded to, and I think I nearly always mention when we have baptisms, the raising of our children in the faith, it is a concern for all of us in this church. Whether we are single, whether we are older, whatever our stage of life, we are to have a mutual concern for one another. And all of us should be praying for and seeking to encourage our young families, the young children, and particularly their parents. And so, beginning last week, continuing today, and extending into the next my next sermon, we're dealing with living properly as believers in parenting. Last sermon, we dealt with two categories of things related to living properly in parenting. The first was lies. The second was truths. This morning, we're going to deal with fears. And then next sermon, commands. And so last week, I asked us to consider from Scripture five lies that we need to let go of in parenting. I'm simply going to state them and try to resist any commentary beyond that. Five lies we need to let go of. First, young children can't understand or learn there are things they should and shouldn't do. Second, young children can't understand the Bible. Third, spankings are primitive and harmful to children. Fourth, discipline and correction damage the parent-child relationship. And fifth, parenting is best learned from peers. Just to make sure you caught it, those were lies. Those were not truths. Those were lies. And of course, you need to. If you weren't here, you need to get the recording to understand everything that was said about that. And then truths. Truths we need to cling to as believing parents. Once again, five of them. And without commentary. First, all glory is due to God in our parenting. Second, the most essential truths for parenting come only from the Bible. Third, children really are sinners. Fourth, parents really are sinners too. And fifth, our children's and our greatest need is Christ. And that brings us then this morning to consider some fears. Fears that will make or break us as a parent. And as you might guess, there are five of them. I think you all understand, I'm not saying there's exactly five, that I couldn't have come up with six or seven or trimmed it down to three. But this is to be representative of fears that can make or break us as parents. The first of these is don't be afraid of your children. Don't be afraid of your children. Now, when you hear that, I wonder what you think. You may be thinking, my, they're quite small. They don't seem like they can do me any harm. But you don't have to watch or be involved with parenting very long before you realize that parents really can fall prey to being afraid of their children. They become insecure because what they're ultimately concerned about is, will my child like me? Am I pleasing my child? And I think both moms and dads can have a temptation to have that kind of fear of their children. If I ventured to guess, I would say maybe mothers are a little bit more prone to be afraid of their children. Do they like me? And then husbands tend to be afraid of their wives. And we laugh, but it's true. The moms are afraid of the kids, and the dads are afraid of mom. And when you have that type of a situation, what you realize has happened is the child or the children are running the home. The youngest, the least experienced, the most foolish are in charge. Because it is a family that has become centered on people being happy and pleased and liked. And this is intimately related to the lies. You see, if you think your children can't learn right or wrong, if you think that spankings are primitive and harmful, if you think that discipline and training your children is going to wreck and ruin your relationship with your children, you are going to be afraid of them. And you will have swapped roles with your child. And when we fear our children, we're really not serving them. We're serving ourselves because we want to be liked. You see, we are called to genuinely and deeply and sacrificially love and care about our children. We should be tender with them. We should be patient. We should be nurturing. We should be affectionate. Our children should have no doubt about our love and commitment to them. But we must not be afraid of them. And we must not make them the center of the home. This was the sin that Saul fell into. Remember, he was called to lead Israel, lead the armies of Israel, and do it under the authority of God's revealed will. But there's that sad occasion where Saul says to Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:24, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." And dear believing parents, you will sin against the Lord if you fear your children and obey their voice. Don't be afraid of your children. Second, don't be afraid of the parenting task. Now, parenting can feel very overwhelming. I remember putting our firstborn in the car seat in the back of the car and thinking, I have signed up for at least a quarter of a century of obligation and work. And it is a lot of work. If you don't feel like it's a lot of work, you're not doing your job as a parent. It is a lot of work. You should feel tired at the end of every day. Believe it or not, someday you will miss it. Keep that in mind too. I can speak to that as well. Someday you will miss it. Someday you will mainly remember the joys and the wonder of raising image bearers and watching them develop. It's a tremendous thing. It's one thing to think soberly and intentionally and biblically and seriously about the task that God has given to you. But it is another thing to become fearful of the task. You see, when we become fearful, we become immobilized. And when that happens, there is so much fear of doing something wrong, not getting something exactly right. You know, will today be the day I do that one horrible thing that my child is going to think wrecks the whole rest of their life? And if we begin to think that way, we will become immobilized and we will disengage the work of parenting. And I want to encourage us that we must not do that. If you are a believer and you have children, God has given them to you, and He has appointed you to be their parent. He's assigned that to you, and you need to trust Him. You need to trust Him with the task. You need to trust Him with those children. And you are going to also have to trust Him with all the many mistakes that you are going to make. And you're going to have to trust Him with the ways that you are going to, not maybe, but you are going to sin against your children. I'm not encouraging you to sin against them, but you will have to trust the Lord for all the many ways that you are going to fall short. But do not give up on the task. Recognize that it is the Lord that has given this to you. He has entrusted these children, children that are members of His church, to you, to train them in ordinary temporal things, but to train them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to lead them to Christ and to follow Him and to trust Him and to love Him. Paul says something to Timothy in the second letter that we have from the Apostle Paul to Timothy in our New Testaments. He says something to him as a minister of the word, but I think it has bearing and application for those of us that are raising children as well. He says to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. As a parent, He has not called you to be a minister of the word per se. But if you're a believer and the Lord has given children to you, He has given you that task. And that task does involve discipling your children in your faith and raising them in outward things. And when God gives you a task, He assigns it to you providentially with those children. Do not give in to a spirit of fear. You have the spirit of power. The Lord will enable you to do it. And love. He will enable you to do it in love to Him and love to them. And with self-control, that is thinking about what you're doing, how you're doing it, what you say, and how you say it. Look to the Lord. Do not fear the task of parenting. Third, don't be afraid to say no or require. Don't be afraid to say no or require. I'm not saying don't be afraid to be gruff with your children. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't be afraid to be rough. You ought to be afraid to do that. But to say no or to require things and to do that according to what God has revealed in Scripture, you should be able to do that. You don't need to do it loudly or roughly or meanly, But you should be able to say no and require and instruct and do it with all authority. Authority doesn't mean loud. Authority means I know I have the Lord behind me. He has revealed his will. And I simply need to tell my child what it is that the Lord requires of them. And one of the things that the Lord requires of them is to obey their parents. And that means you don't have to have a Bible verse for every single thing you require in your home. If you want your children to use a fork and a knife instead of their hands, you can require it. You could teach it, but you can require that. You're the parent. And you need to understand your role and not be afraid to say no or to require. This is like a very specific application of not being afraid of your children. You see, if we don't come to our children in not a self-confidence, but a humble confidence of the Lord, what he's revealed, and what our role is, if we don't do that, we will actually wind up making our children more insecure. Children need to know, just like we need to know, what our place is in the world. And brothers and sisters, if we are left to our sin, the place that we think we have in the world is that we are at the center. That is the tendency we all have in our sin. Everything revolves around us. That is where our children in their sin will want to go. And by saying no, by requiring, by explaining, by revealing and telling them what they should do, what you are actually doing is reminding them in so many ways that they live in God's world, that God is the center, not them. And they will come to better understand who they are, what their family is, what their role in the family is, the unique place of mom and dad, and how they relate to all things. And brothers and sisters, it's a good thing when you learn your place and your role in the world. There's happiness in that. And we must not leave our children in a place to think that they are at the center of everything. That God, in fact, is all centered and hovered and worried about them and whether they are happy all the time. When King David was old and an invalid, we read the story of one of his sons by a woman named Haggith. The son's name is Adonijah. And when King David is bedridden and old, he takes it as an opportunity to have an uprising, to usurp his father's place. He decides he's going to be the king. He prepares for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And then we read this in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. His father, that is Adonijah, his father, King David, had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done thus and so?" King David failed his son, Adonijah, as a father. He never told him no. He never questioned what he was going to do because he didn't want to displease him. And in the process, he actually harmed his son. Proverbs 29, verse 17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Do not be afraid to say no or require. Fourth, don't be afraid of the opinions of the world. Don't be afraid of the opinions of the world. You see, as a believer, you have the Spirit. And because you have the Spirit, you are actually able to understand and accept things about right and wrong and God, and this being God's world. You are able to accept things and understand things that those who do not have the Spirit and do not believe on Christ, they are not able to accept and understand them. And that means that those who are outside of Christ think about the home, they think about children, they think about parenting in a way that is devoid of that kind of truth, the sorts of things that we read in Scripture. They have made up their own idea of the world and what people are and what's to be expected of them and what will actually be good for them. It's their vain imaginations. But you, if you're a believer, you have the Spirit. You are able to accept the things of the Spirit of God. And you are able to take up what is revealed in Scripture about God and this world, who we are as image bearers, that we are fallen in Adam, that there's real right and wrong, and that there's a gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're able to take all that up and accept that and apply that to your home life and to your children in particular as you raise them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. You see, if you're getting out in the world or getting on websites and you are enlisting the opinions of unbelievers in child rearing, they will have you thinking that what you're doing is brainwashing, that you're controlling them in inappropriate ways, that you're suppressing them, that you're harming them. But you see, really what's going on is they are opposed to God and God's rule and God's creation. They want to get rid of God. They resent Him. And they resent the existence and the rule and reign of God in Christ being brought to bear on children by believing parents in the home and the church. But then we read Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Am I going to be afraid of the opinions of unbelievers and cave in? And then fail to do what I should do as a parent. You see, we have to trust the Lord and not seek our peace and our happiness from the favor of the world. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And that leads us to a fifth and final fear. As a parent, do fear the Lord. It's interesting how often in Scripture, it's an either-or thing. You either fear the Lord or you fear everything else. And if you fear the Lord, you don't have anything else to fear. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, the fear of the Lord is a mark of conversion. It's repentance. It's seeing and acknowledging our sin, knowing the weight of its guilt, but also understanding the mercies of God in Christ, turning to Christ in faith, and having the relief from that guilt, being justified and forgiven, knowing that you've been adopted and brought into the household of God, sealed with His Spirit, and having the hope of Christ's coming again. That's the fear of the Lord. To know Him, to acknowledge Him as the true and living God, turning from all the other idols, everything else that you would fear. Again, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Psalm 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is the one who perfectly feared God. As true man, he feared the Lord. He submitted to the will of his Father, even when that will was to go and die and come under and truly experience the wrath of God that was due to his people. And in tremendous love that we can't even begin to relate to or imagine, our Savior loving us with the love that the Father had for us, was strengthened by the Spirit in love to offer himself up for sinners. Fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you have nothing else to fear. Fear the Lord, don't fear your children. Fear the Lord, don't fear the task of parenting. Fear the Lord, don't be afraid of saying no. Fear the Lord, don't be afraid of the opinions of the world. May God give us grace in these things. May God be merciful to all of us, and especially our young families. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do look to you. We humble ourselves. We care so much about all of our young families. We love them. We desire to support them. We pray that these aspects of your word and these truths about fears will be pleased to use it, that you will deepen their fear of you in love and trust to Christ. And we pray that you will dispel their other fears. And Father, for all of us, may we fear you. Deliver all of us from all the other things that we really don't need to fear, because we belong to you in Christ, and nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hand. We are so grateful. Remind us of your mercies and your steadfast love as we come and receive our Savior in this supper that you've appointed for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's prepare to come to the Lord's Supper.